6:30 to 10:30 p.m. at the Brecht Forum. Speakers include economist Ed Borstein, who worked with Che in Cuba, Magda Enriquez, U.S. representative of Nicaragua's FSLN, history professor Gerardo Renique of City University of New York, attorney Michael Ratner, author of the forthcoming book Che and the FBI, and WBAI program director Samari Marksman, host of Behind the News. There'll also be a number of poets presenting work celebrating the life of Che. That's Saturday, October 4th at 6:30 p.m. at the Brecht Forum, 122 West 27th Street in New York City. For more information, call the Brecht Forum at 212-242-4201. That's 212-242-4201.
And you listen to radio station WBAI in New York, where it's 8 o'clock. Time for an exciting edition of Off the Hook. The button doesn't work. Can you believe that? The button doesn't work. Hang on, I have to reach all the way over to the other side of the studio. There we go. That's why we need to ask for money occasionally. It's Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. I couldn't get my sweat, but if I could, they would. On the telephone for the best effect for work. I hope that's understood, but then you know.
And a very good evening to everybody. This is Off the Hook, and we're broadcasting live over the radio and over the internet. Hello to all you people all around the world. Everyone, of course, is welcome to call country code 1, if you're outside the country only, 212-279-3400. It's Off the Hook. The day is right around the corner where you can listen to WBAI around the clock on the internet, because it's happening all over the place. There's radio stations on the net now around the clock, and if we can work it out here, we're certainly going to do that. And that way, when you go off to all different parts of the world, you can bring BAI with you. That's right. all the time. Well, this is an interesting edition of Off the Hook because we'll be getting phone calls hopefully from all different parts of the country as well. And New York City, which, as many of you know, New York City is facing a crisis with the split of the 212 area code. I didn't expect fighting in the street, but there is fighting in the street because apparently one of the chowderheads in charge was proposing that the east side of Manhattan take on the 718 area code, and that kind of thing just is not going to fly. I could have told them that. So there's negotiations going on. The latest I heard was that the State Public Utilities Commission has endorsed the plan for basically an overlay. What an overlay is, it means that you have two area codes in the same place. So when you're in Manhattan, you could be either 212 or 646. And if you get a new phone number, you're going to be 646. But, you know, I've heard a lot of suggestions as to how to deal with this so these kinds of problems do not happen. And I think it's very logical that you use the 212 area code sparingly. You don't give it out to all these PBXs that just have out dials, you know. Let's say you're at, what's a good company? Sony World Headquarters in Manhattan. I don't even know if Sony World Headquarters is in Manhattan, but they've got to have some kind of headquarters of some sort. And they make outgoing phone calls. Well, each one of those phones they use grabs an outgoing tie line or foreign exchange line or whatever. It's a phone number that if it shows up in your caller ID and you call it back, it's just going to ring forever because it's not really a phone number. It's in the 212. Thousands and thousands of numbers are in the 212 area code that do that kind of thing. It's a waste. You know, people are willing to fight for the 212 area code. They should use that kind of thing sparingly. I know it sounds silly to be talking about an area code like this, but for God's sake, people, 212, it's like, you know, it's the easiest one to dial. There are no easier ones. 312 isn't as easy, 213 isn't as easy, and 646 certainly isn't as easy. Okay, enough of that. We have a bunch of interesting things that have happened this week. I guess probably one of the most interesting things is a letter I got in the mail. Actually, I got this letter yesterday, and it scared the heck out of me. It really did. Because it came from the National Security Council. And as you recall, last week we did this thing about the pagers of the White House. So I get this letter from National Security Council, Washington, D.C., official business. That's all the return address is. That's the whole thing. So I open it up, and it's a letter. And the letter says, this is in response to your Freedom of Information Act request, dated April 15th, 1988. Concerning records pertaining to the National Emergency Telephone System and the 710 area code, as an organization in the Executive Office of the President that advises and assists the President, the National Security Council is not subject to the Freedom of Information Act. However, the NSC accepts and processes requests from the public and releases information as appropriate on a discretionary basis. We have completed a search of our holdings and we are unable to locate any records responsive to your request. Sincerely, Rod Subers, Deputy Director, Access Management. It took them over 9 years to search their records and discover that they didn't have anything they could help me with. I mean, I'd forgotten about this. 9 years of searching. I mean, Reagan was in office when this happened. Reagan, not even Bush. Bush came and went. I mean, you have to wonder, just like, what kind of fairy tales are going on inside that place.
Once there was an old lady who lived in a shoe. Had so many children, she didn't know what to do. Gave them some broth without any bread. Beat them soundly and send them to bed.
And if that isn't enough for you, there are some new laws taking effect in this nation of ours. In Connecticut, for instance, It's now a crime to jump in a trash bin. Yeah, horrors of all horrors. It actually, they actually criminalized something that a lot of hackers do to get information. Dumpster diving, going through a company's trash to get trade secrets, becomes illegal in Connecticut under trade secret protection laws. Victims of dumpster diving will be allowed to sue in state courts. Interesting. You jump into IBM's dumpsters and IBM takes you to court. It's garbage. For God's sake, they throw it out. Why are they throwing it out if they want to keep it? They got to make up their minds. My garbage isn't protected by law. Can you imagine if you could sue the garbage man for taking your garbage? I mean, it's trade secret after all. It's pretty scary. Okay, and of course we have the bill to outlaw radio as we know it. Here's something that we found on the internet, reprinted from the World Scanner Report of yesterday, September 29th. If Representative Billy Towson, a Republican of Louisiana, chairman of the House Subcommittee on Telecommunications, Trade, and Consumer Protection, and his asinine HR 2369 have anything to say about it, radio, as we know it, will become history. It's not the position of the World Scanner Report to run off too deep into politics, so I won't take valuable technical space here to print Towson's proposed bill in the House of Representatives. You can find it all over the internet and in the mainstream radio magazines like Popcom and Monitoring Times. Instead, you'll find my views as relayed to California Senators Barbara Boxer and Dianne Feinstein. You, dear readers, know, of course, they pretty much already have our guns and our automobiles. And I know a lot of people would disagree with certain aspects of this, but there are interesting parallels to be drawn. Now they want our radios. I have long contended that the three most vital ingredients of a free society are self-defense, transportation, and... anybody? Barney? No. Communications. I guess you could put sharing in there somewhere, but self-defense, transportation, and communications. I think speech should be in there somewhere. But anyway, he says, forgive me for suggesting it, but if there ever was a time for hysteria and panic, this is it. So feel free to be hysterical and panicky out there. I mean, the America of we the people is on the brink. Please become informed in radio and electronic communications before lending your support or even casual credibility to HR 2369. Radio signals know no boundaries. Some are dangerous and harmful to body and or brain. Radio waves cook your food. Even harmless radio waves can contain harmful or threatening communication. Like this one. The right of the public to protect itself and to detect jeopardy, danger, and potential harm seems constitutionally guaranteed. It is not a privilege that can be deprived. The people have the God-given right to use their eyes and ears to detect things visible and audible that pass through their property and bodies. Why is there a controversy over the people's right to detect radio waves that pass through their property and bodies? Radio waves are only a form of light waves. The two are fundamentally the same. And what's more, sound waves aren't all that much different. Radio light acoustical waves are energy. Privacy always has been and should continue to be the primary responsibility of the sender and receiver of communications. If you loudly speak of top secret matters to your colleagues in a public restaurant, how do you know about that? Do you have a reasonable expectation to privacy? Are others required to plug their ears? Well, yeah. If it's a secret, they shouldn't be listening. If one were to disrobe on a city street, would they have any reasonable expectation of privacy? Would it be incumbent on others to shade their eyes or avert their gaze? Certainly, some would do so. Not all. And would those who didn't be criminals? When a radio signal is broadcast in the clear, regardless of audience and intended receiver, there cannot be any reasonable expectation of privacy. When we verbally speak to others and want privacy, we lower our voices to a whisper and or seek a secure place. When we undress for showers and bed, we do so in a private place. If we want privacy in radio communications, it is incumbent on us to implement encryption or other secure measures. I like this guy to office. I mean, this is it. Yes, exactly. It is not incumbent on watchers to avert their eyes to public sights, nor are listeners to close their ears to audible sounds. So why is it incumbent on the public to not operate a radio receiver just because some people choose to use it for their means of private communications? Why does the government feel obliged to legislate this illusion of privacy? Please note that the cellular telephone industry first created the illusion of privacy and then convinced the government to sanction it regarding the Electronic Communications Privacy Act of 1986, and then the Telephone Dispute and Disclosure Act of 1994. My dear senators, I hope you can sense the preposterous nature of these acts and those now about to follow in their wake. Please exert your opposition to H.R. 2369 and anything resembling it. I am adamantly opposed to government imposition on harmless, passive activities that the people can do in their homes, automobiles, and other private domains that do not impinge on the rights of others. This includes radio monitoring. The issue crystallizes to a very simple framework. We, the people of the United States of America, do not have a reasonable expectation to privacy when we disrobe in public, shout in public areas, and communicate via radio waves. That was written by Bill Cheek, citizen of California State, and this was reprinted from the World Scanner Report of September 29, 1997. I don't think anything really puts it into words much better than that, because that's how absurd these regulations are. And they extend to the Internet. They extend all over the place. It's the same kind of cluelessness that legislators have that gets this kind of stuff talked about in the first place. All right, we have a couple of letters from around the world from people that listen to our show on Real Audio. And they listen to it on tape. Well, not really on tape, but they listen to it delayed because we put it up on the website, www.2600.com, and you are able to download it or listen to it live at that point. But tonight, we're on the Internet live as we speak, so people all over the world are potentially able to hear us. So we'd like to hear from those people tonight. You know, those of you in New York, yeah, we'd like to hear from you too, especially if you have something to say about the 212-646 crisis, because it is a crisis. I'm not going to use 718. I refuse to dial it. I won't dial it. Simple as that. And that's not meant to be an affront to those people in 718. I mean, you know, if you're just 718 people, that's all there is to it. And I don't mean that in a bad way either. It's just, you're different, okay? No, it's, oh boy, I'm going to get in trouble for this. All right, let's read these letters. It's not like you're 201 or something like that, you know? I was listening to the Off the Hook show for the 9th of September. You were talking about cellular that can be rented by the day, etc. I don't know if you've gotten any more information on this, but we have had this in St. Louis for over 2 years now, and Ameritech calls it pick-up-and-go cellular. For $30, you get 60 minutes of time on a cellular carrier. You can either buy the old phones from them, usually costing around $30, or bring in your own. The airtime is 50 cents per minute and is also subject to the same roaming charges and stuff like that. The airtime is deducted from the balance of the card. The phone number is created in the pick-up-and-go pool of numbers, and the card number that you purchase is linked to the number of the phone or the ESN after you purchase the card. After purchase, you call a special number with the phone you have and then enter the number off of the back of the card. Then you scratch off a special silver patch like a lottery card that contains an authentication number. This adds the balance into the computer. The card then becomes invalid. Fascinating. New ways of communicating, phone cards, temporary cellular phones. You know, I saw an advertisement for Sprint PCS, and they were offering all these great rates. I mean, it looked like they were great rates anyway, you know, the large number of minutes for a certain amount of dollars per month and all kinds of other things that looked like they were better than OmniPoint. So I decided to call them to find out, hey, what's up with these rates? You know, how much does it cost after you use a certain amount of time? Now, here's the interesting thing. I called them. I just called their 800 number like it was listed in the full-page ad in New York Times last week. And, you know, I was put on hold for a few seconds, like I expect to be. Not like the OmniPoint 45 minutes. No, this was a few seconds. And as the phone rang, someone picked up, I heard them finishing talking to somebody on the, you know, I guess who was sitting next to them. And I expected them to finish their paragraph or whatever and then start talking to me. Except, it never happened. they continued to keep talking to the person next to me. Apparently, they had no idea whatsoever that they were talking to a customer. So they just continued this long conversation. And I managed to grab a little bit of it. I figured, you know, when you call up these people, they give you a little recording that says, this phone call may be recorded for customer quality or something like that. And it works both ways, folks. Yeah. Phone calls may be recorded for customer quality. What I did was I called up my OmniPoint phone.
Your password.
Okay, I'm going to enter my password. I put this on my OmniPoint voicemail. I'm going to try and see if it actually works. It should be one.
You have more than 10 messages. One is new, and more than 10 are saved. To listen to your messages, press 1.
Okay, the one new message is the one that that this is.
4:46 p.m. Telephone number 5.
Note how it gives the phone number, even if you don't want it to give the phone number. It'll do that no matter what. Here we go.
Yeah. And I think we're, you know, really...
He's a Sprint PCS representative.
Developing the attitude of, you know, I'll do what I can and let the rest go. And, yeah, and mostly, you know, I'm kind of laid back about everything, and I have that attitude. But for some reason, since I've been in here, I've caught myself kind of taking it home with me, and I've never allowed myself to do that.
Okay, I don't do that.
You know, I get home, and I get thinking, well, I could have done this, or should have done that, or should I do? And then I think, well, I need to trade departments if I'm doing this, you know.
Once I hit that door.
Yeah. Let it bother me. I really don't know a way to survive it. It's, you know, it works okay if it doesn't.
My philosophy is
to do the best. Yeah. I know I have to get to that point. I think part of my frustration, though, has been that we got such a little training, and what we got was so scattered, you know. We never saw the same instructor 2 days in a row. And 14. It was the stepchild of all stepchilds, I think. And I wasn't that great with computers when I came in and started the training. So I think that part of my frustration has been trying to learn all this, trying to make, feeling the pressure to make the sales, and then feeling the pressure to, you know, do the computer thing.
Okay, well, that went on for another 20 minutes or so. I think they got trained a little too fast. I agree with her. It sounds like they definitely got rushed through it and thrown onto the sales floor. So, OmniPort never did that. So, that's if you call Sprint PCS, you may get a whole earful of someone's conversation before you actually get any help. Eventually, I called back, and I got somebody else who picked up the phone and started speaking to me at the same time. And they said their rates are something like 10 cents a minute after... 10 cents a minute around the clock. Now, to me, that does not sound right. If someone can verify that, if Sprint PCS offers 10 cents a minute around the clock after you use up however many minutes are on your plan, I'd sure like to know about it. But rather than run out and get their service and find out later that they didn't get trained enough to tell me the price, I'd just like someone to verify that. Okay, another letter. I have ADSL right now from Simpatico, a Saskatel-owned company. Is it Saskatel or Saskatel? Which is it? Which one did I say first? Saskatel. Because it's spelled S-A-S-K-T-E-L. Should there be an A in there somewhere? Saskatchewan, actually. So, should be. Anyway, he forgot to mention, referring to a network who was on a few weeks ago, he forgot to mention a couple of really cool points about ADSL. You get telephone service and the ADSL connection for $80 per month, Saskatoon and Regina, and this includes free usage of the ADSL, Ethernet 10BASE-T or AUII modem, $2,000 to $6,000, yeah, right. A little bit of sarcasm over the internet there. The installation uses your regular copper twisted pair coming into your home. That is very cool. This dummy mentioned, well, you know, folks, when you're calling up, you shouldn't refer to our guests as dummies, all right, because we're all sort of on the same side here, you know, so we got to be sort of polite. So I'll say the gentleman mentioned that you cannot use the phone at the same time as ADSL, and he is dead wrong. he's incorrect, according to this listener, this internet listener. Yes, you can use the phone at the same time as you use data. Anyways, the dude was a big dummy. If you want some, you know, it just goes on about all that. Oh boy, I'm sure we'll get some response to that as well. The speed I get is a theoretical 1.5 megabytes incoming, 500K outgoing, and I've had the connection since December 96, and it rocks. Well, we'll see. We'll see if we get it here. We'll see if certain people have to eat their hats. All right. Isaac is here. Isaac, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm here and I'm fine.
Now, you're the person in charge of putting up real audio recordings of the Beyond Hope conference, which took place in August.
We recorded, as you know, the conference on video and audio. Actually, it's on the same tape. And I'm very slowly making my way through encoding all of the audio tracks from all the panels. There's only about 7 left. I wouldn't like to say more interesting ones, but the ones that were in high demand from people who contacted me, GSM, the MetroCard panel, the Loft I recently uploaded, they're all on the site. You can actually find those at www.hope.net, right there in the front, where they should be. I've got about 7 more, so I'm very slowly making my way through those.
Okay.
It's long work.
So I guess we'll put up a couple a week?
Okay.
Go to www.hope.net for that, and you'll see all the files there. And there's a link to that from the 2600 site as well. Okay, 212-279-3400 is our telephone number, and I guess we want to hear from people from all over the place, see who's out there, and see just what it is they have to say. Where should we go? We don't want to go to that line there, because that one is... Okay, let's try this one over here. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm calling from San Francisco.
San Francisco, that's about as far away as you can get.
Yep.
At least in this country. See, I guess the net connection is working just fine.
Yeah, it's working great. Actually, right now I'm at the Microsoft Internet Explorer 4.0 launch at Fort Mason in the city.
Wow.
And I'm sitting on a T1 line. And it seems to be working really good.
Cool. Yeah, you know, a 28.8 connection should be enough to listen to the show.
Yep.
But a T1 certainly can't hurt.
Right.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind seeing a 56K or a 128 link. That'd be great.
Uh-huh. So tell us what San Francisco is like this time of year and what's going on out there.
Right now, fog's coming in, kind of breezy, nice, cool.
Yeah.
Not humid and hot like New York, sorry. But
well, actually, it's not very humid and hot here either.
Oh, really?
It's rather chilly and cold.
It's great. I was there 2 weeks ago and it was pretty nasty.
Yeah, well, that happens in the later part of the summer. But, you know, right now it's dark here. I'll bet it's not dark there.
No, not at all. It's very nice out. Very nice. Still sunny.
So that's a 3-hour time difference there.
Yeah.
Wow. So you had no trouble whatsoever actually listening to the show?
No trouble. Just waiting for the link to activate itself. Popped it on, spawned the player, and it's ready to go.
Okay, great. Is there anything you want to say to our listeners?
Just what's up to New York from California. See you guys later.
Okay. Thanks for calling. Take care. Not bad.
Not bad at all.
Yeah. Although he sounded like he was coming through the internet, too, somehow. You know, maybe it's just a weird speakerphone or something like that. San Francisco. You know, I heard another radio station on the net. I'll say what station. I don't care. It's WFMU. They have a great website, and you can listen to them all the time on the website. And they had a show on the other night where they were giving away concert tickets. And the question was, what is the area code for San Francisco? You know, and nobody got it. Nobody could even open up the phone book or call information or what. Nobody. He kept pleading, saying, does anybody know the area code for San Francisco? Of course, we all know it's... Not 212.
Correct.
Right.
Very right.
Good evening. You're on the air.
Thanks. I was just wondering about the conference that you're saying you're getting that for people. Did anyone want to get the Steal This Radio? Was anyone requesting the Steal This Radio panel?
Well, I know I was. I don't know if anybody else was, but that's the one that we didn't record.
Yeah,
and if anybody out there has a recording of it, please let us know. The Steal This Radio panel took place Saturday night. And for various technical reasons, we weren't able to record that one. But if anyone has an audio recording, it would be very helpful.
Because I would like to know, is there anyone I can contact after the show about setting that up? You know, because we have the transmitter, and I want to get us on the web, and I don't really know too much. I don't know about how to do that. And I want to know if I can do it with the computer that I have and the transmitter that we have.
Well, you obviously need net access. What kind of net access do you have right now?
I don't have any. I go to a cyber cafe.
Isaac, what would they need
to actually broadcast real audio live?
Right.
Yeah.
minimum, maybe a bonded ISDN. I really don't follow that kind of thing. But you're going to need to be speedy enough to serve a couple of people.
Yeah, I think you might want to start looking for people to donate access to you as far as that goes.
What are you talking about?
That's something we're actually looking into at BAI, too.
I'm sorry.
We're looking into that at BAI, too, getting people with the bandwidth to donate some resources so that people from around the world can connect. But I believe on a T1, you can still only get maybe 24 people at once to actually be able to listen. So it's, you know, it sounds great to be able to be all over the world, and maybe, you know, if people only listen for a little while, that works out, but it's still not that much. I think once ADSL becomes commonplace, the potential for getting a lot of listeners around the world will increase. So it's definitely something to get involved in now.
Okay, that's what we need. We need either an ISDN or a T1. That's what we need.
I would say you need a T1 for if you want to be sending out.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely, because you know a lot of people are going to be connecting,
right.
And if you want more than one or two people to be able to connect at the same time, you're going to need a T1.
And if you're archiving and not broadcasting, it's different.
Archiving is different because that's just a simple thing of downloading. You know, you would record it, convert it to real audio, and then download whenever, you know, whenever and however you wish. And again, you know, bandwidth is a question of as how long it's going to take to download the show. But, you know, you can have, theoretically, a very limited limited site. It just would take longer.
Mm. All right. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks
good luck. And Steal This Radio. Yeah, that's the radio station down on the Lower East Side. They're at 88.7. Yes. And, boy, they have some really interesting things on the air, I got to say. I wish the FCC would just back off and let us all program radio the way we want to. All right, 212-279-3400. That's not a seditious remark or anything, is it?
No, not at all.
Okay, I don't want to get, you know, indicted. All right, good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi.
I was wondering if you guys knew anything about automatic teller machine networks.
Well, these are people that have encrypted pretty much the sessions. So I know it's not the easiest thing in the world to compromise.
Well, just as far as I was curious from a user point of view, there are these Fleet ATMs in the Port Authority that I use all the time.
Okay.
And so I walk past them all the time coming into the city from Jersey, and I realized the other day for the first time, hey, you know, I can probably make my deposits here. So I walk into the booth. And I noticed that there are deposit slips, deposit envelopes, and a little sign that says, you know, deposits received after 3 a.m. will be posted the next business day.
Okay.
And I go to make my deposit, and there are these touch screens.
Right.
So the buttons are all software dependent, and there's no deposit button. So I went to another one of the machines, and finally I realized they hadn't installed the version of the software they had loaded onto these machines. Did not have any deposit button for you to hit.
So was there a deposit chute for you to put deposits in?
Oh, yes.
Because once I came across a machine that didn't have, it was the exact opposite. They didn't have the deposit chute, but they did have deposit on the menu. So if you selected deposit, it would try to open a chute it didn't have.
Oh, okay.
And it would totally hang.
Well, this one, it had a chute, but it didn't have the button.
Uh-huh.
So I called Fleet. And I told them about that, and I figured, and they said, okay, you know, we'll take care of it. I was dialing some 800 number, and I figured they would never, ever, you know, be responsive enough.
Uh-huh.
Next time I went to the city, which is a few days later, it was all taken care of, and I was wondering if there are quite a number of them in the Port Authority. I was wondering if that's something that they could do a network, like if they could just upload over some kind of a software network. A new version of the software, or if it's something that has to go manually around from machine to machine?
I'm sure they have a way of contacting their machines, because you see them occasionally going down for some sort of maintenance, and there's nobody there doing any maintenance. So obviously they can receive messages from remote areas, which I assume are on a closed network. I sure hope they are anyway.
Okay. The Fiber's not around this week?
No, he's not.
Okay. I kind of wanted to run this by him just because he seems to have this uncanny way of knowing a little bit about everything.
Yeah. So. Well, we'll ask him next time he's in.
Okay, great. Well, thanks a lot.
Take care. And speaking of that, programming note, we're not going to be on next week, and we're not going to be on the week after that either, and we're not going to be on even the week after that, because there's all kinds of special programs coming up on the fundraiser that's taking place this October. So our next show will not be until, I think, October 24th. Mercy. So it's going to be a whole different world by the time people come back here. Speaking of different worlds, I don't know how many of you have seen it, but the payphones are changing. Yeah. You know, the Bell Atlantic payphones, they put in those little signs, but I guess they're taking down the 9X signs, and they're replacing them with little Bell Atlantic ones. I don't think they're that attractive, because you could see 9X, or if they happen to say Beyond Hope, you could see that from across the street. But Bell Atlantic, you can't see unless you're standing right next to it, because most of it is like a logo of some sort, and the actual letters are very tiny. But they're definitely changing, and I think they're doing it very slowly. A lot of phones are half Bell Atlantic, half 9X. I think that's to get it into our thick skulls that it's the same company, and hopefully we'll accept it. But the phone bills have been laser printed to say Bell Atlantic now instead of 9X, and the envelopes still say 9X, but I imagine after a while they're going to they stamp them saying Bell Atlantic is now 9X, so that you won't get too confused. It's all a lot of fun for everybody. All right, 212-279-3400. Anybody overseas? Is anybody overseas listening? I mean, I realize it's probably, you know, people are sleeping on the other side of the world. But if anybody is listening in real audio, I mean, I'm sure you know how to dial overseas. Usually you dial 00 to get overseas, and then the country code, which is 1. And then our phone number, 212-279-3400. And you'll probably get a busy signal, but just keep trying. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm fine. Do you know anything about the 000 area code?
The 000 area code?
Yeah.
Other than it doesn't exist? Why? Did you hear something about it?
Because I got a call from Bell Atlantic.
Uh-huh.
And then I did a call return or whatever, and I got 000 and then 7 digits right after it.
Is that what showed up on... when you dialed *690, the announcement said that number.
Yep.
Did you try calling it?
Nope.
Okay. Well, it probably isn't going to go through, but that's similar to what OmniPoint does with new phones. Before they're activated, they show up as coming from area code 999. Both cases, those area codes do not exist, and the numbers being sent out are just, I guess, the best way to describe them, fake numbers.
Cool.
I'd love to be able to figure out how to do that, you know, for individual people, not just AT&T and OmniPoint, or Bell Atlantic. It was Bell Atlantic, you said?
Yeah.
Interesting. Now, who was it who called you? Is that the customer service department?
Yeah.
Okay, so everyone out there, try to get a customer service department to call you, and we can experiment and compare numbers. I'll bet the last 7 digits, though, have some meaning within Bell Atlantic.
Yeah, because it was like 0834 and 75-something.
Yeah, it's probably some sort of internal extension of some sort, but it's interesting. Definitely keep track of that kind of thing. We can use it to figure out how it works.
All right, thanks.
Thanks for calling. Yeah, just some of the experimentation that we're up to. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hi.
How you doing?
All right. I just wanted to comment on what just the guy was saying about the 00, you know, area codes.
Okay.
Well, it's more actually of a same type of thing that happened to me. It was actually a while ago, a few years ago. We were, like, my whole family, we were out for, like, vacation.
Uh-huh.
And we came back, and we had, like, a ton of messages on the answering machine, and a couple of them.
Yeah.
They were like, 45 minutes long and whatnot, and just like people, just talking about like different sorts of, stuff sounded like, I don't know, like a lot of them would ask like if some guy got out of jail and like whatnot, all the sorts of weird stuff, and like a lot of the calls were placed to like Russia and Australia.
Uh-huh.
And like the whole number would like begin with like a string of like 7 zeros, followed by like another 3 digits.
Really?
Yeah, and it was like a $300 bill. I mean, it got canceled, but...
Do you remember what company it was?
Built by?
Yeah.
AT&T, I think.
It was AT&T?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was.
That's unusual.
Yeah, and it was really odd.
The originating number, you're saying the originating number showed up as 7 zeros? And then
something like that, like a lot of zeros, like more than 3 zeros it was.
So
it was like 0000, like 3011 or something like that.
Right.
You know?
Were these third number calls? They billed it to your number from a third number?
I don't know. See, we were gone, and I don't even know, because they got recorded onto our answering machines.
Uh-huh.
That was, like, part of the proof that we had that, you know, that's why, like, they dismissed the bill.
Right.
Because we might have made, like, maybe, like, $5 worth of calls because we were, like, on vacation.
Right.
And we came back, and we had these, like, messages.
Well, you see, the phone companies, I got to tell you, the phone companies will try and get you to pay for these calls one way or another by saying that, you know, that you accepted a collect call or you agreed to have a third number bill put on your phone. Even if, I mean, I ran into this with a phone company once where they billed me for a collect call on a line that I don't have collect call allowed on. You know, you can block these things.
Yeah.
It's a service. And not only that, but it was a data line, and it was always in use. So that even if I wanted to accept a collect call on this line that had collect call blocking, I wouldn't be able to do it. And when I told the company this, they said, well, sorry, but obviously you accepted the collect call because the computer says that you accepted the collect call. And it doesn't matter that you don't accept collect calls and that it's impossible to do this. We're going to bill you for this anyway. And I got to tell you, thank God for the local phone company, because Bell Atlantic, NYNEX, whatever you want to call them, they are very sympathetic to this kind of thing, and they will take it off your bill and let you deal with them directly if you call the right people.
Yeah, it was really odd, the fact that it actually got recorded onto our answering machine, which is, like, really messed up, because, I mean, it was set for, like, four rings after which we would answer, and it recorded both sides of the conversation. You know, so it was really like a weird conversation too, because
you're saying what, the answering machine recorded both sides of the conversation
as
well.
Yeah, it was really odd. I don't know. I never like encountered anything like this from anybody. Aside from the fact that we had those weird phone bills, we also had the whole conversations recorded on an answering machine.
That's interesting.
There was nobody in the house.
Uh huh.
They were all away. Yeah. I actually can ask you another question.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. I'm in college right now, and like they just switched a new phone system. You know, like when you have to like you dial like 8 to 4 line, then you dial the number, and then like a access code.
Okay.
Do you know of any like maybe possible holes in that, or aside from like brute forcing like codes?
What kind of system is it? Do you know?
No, I don't know.
Does it require a special phone or?
No. It's a regular phone line. You have to, you dial like 8, and then you dial the phone number you want to dial.
Uh-huh.
And then it like gives you a little tone.
How many digits is the code?
The code, let's see, it's like, eight digits. It's an eight digit code, and then you can get an outside call.
And you can use your code from any phone?
You could call an 800 number and use that code, yeah.
No, I'm saying you can go to somebody else's phone and use the same code.
Yeah.
I'd say there probably is a hole in the system, but probably the biggest hole is people's willingness to give out information. I'm sure someplace on that campus has a printout of everybody's name, their social security number, and their phone code right next to it. And to simply apply that. Or other things, codes are very similar sometimes. They're off by only a couple of digits.
Like apparently it's like it jumps, like, I mean, we got registered pretty close together, and like it jumps by like a few, like a lot of digits, so it's like it's not like it's sequential or anything.
No, it wouldn't be sequential, but sometimes they're, you know, like the first four digits maybe are used a lot, which cuts it down quite a bit. But something else you have to remember, systems like this obviously record the number you call, but they often record the number you call from as well. And it's not very hard for them to figure out where the calls are coming from or who's doing it.
Right.
So you just got to be careful.
Well, actually,
another
thing is, like, I mean, they do supply you with an 800 number you can call. So technically, if you do have somebody else's code, you could just call the 800 number from, like, a payphone.
Okay.
And just use their code to call out.
I see.
So, yeah, I guess, yeah.
What college is this?
This is Rutgers.
Rutgers, Rutgers, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure there's people out there that are listening now that go to Rutgers that can probably give us all kinds of information on the system. We'll let you know if we find out something.
Yeah, I'm actually listening to Real Audio right now because the reception here isn't that great.
Uh-huh.
And so it's very cool.
Great.
Yeah, except there's a little too much bass. It's almost like shattered my speakers.
Try turning your bass down.
Oh, I did. But I mean, like, you know, as opposed to your regular, like, recorded ones.
Right.
It's a little, but otherwise...
Too much bass. Okay, technicians over there handling this, that's a comment from a listener. Too much bass. We'll try to turn down the bass.
All right.
All right, thanks for calling.
Okay.
I don't think I can turn down the bass. I mean, what am I going to do? I guess we just shouldn't speak bassy.
That's true.
All right. 212-279-3400. So that technically was a call from out of the area. Rutgers, I guess, is sort of out of the area, even though they really should be in the area. I don't know. Is that... station from Delaware keeps interfering with us, and San Francisco. So if you're calling from someplace outside the local area, if you're listening on Real Audio, tell us, because you might, you know, go through an entire phone call and not realize that you're calling from Bombay or something, and we just never mentioned that fact. It'd be kind of interesting. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yes, Emmanuel.
Yes. Oh, my finger slipped. My finger really slipped. My finger really slipped. No, we don't have time. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? I'm not from overseas. My name is John. I'm from Brooklyn. But I would like to talk about the 212 issue. About 10 years ago, 718, which was Brooklyn, used to be 212. And we gave in. We gave up. We didn't fight. We said nothing. We laid down. And we allowed the phone company to change our area code of 212 to 718.
That was something that I think people of this area... would like to forget, but it's certainly something that happened, and I don't think we should ignore the fact that we gave in.
You know, there's something about it being like an identifying factor, And I felt a split between me and Manhattan. I really did, and the Bronx and the rest of all boroughs.
Yeah, I mean, look what's happening now. People on the east side are you know, getting the proposal that they're going to be 718 too, you know. And they're saying, I don't want to be associated with those people.
Right.
You know, it happened. We were together. We were a community. And then 718 came along, and it divided us by the East River.
It did. Yeah. Yeah, well, it's something to think about.
It's a damn shame.
And I'm glad you're addressing that issue.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thank you for calling.
All righty.
Is it me, or am I having trouble telling when people are being sarcastic or not? Look, it's a real problem, okay? Okay, 718 is something that, I don't know. Well, I like the idea. If we can't have four-digit area codes, which I think was the best idea, you know, maybe it's not too late to fix that mistake. We could have kept 212 and just added a digit to it and had 10 of them. At least overlay area codes allow most of us to keep the 212, and just new people won't have 212. It doesn't seem fair either, though. Good evening. You're on the air. Yes, speak up. It's you.
Emmanuel.
Yes, how you doing?
Pretty good, man. How's it going on?
Okay. Where are you calling from?
West Virginia.
West Virginia. Wow.
Did you all ever think you'd be syndicated?
Well, in a sense, we're syndicated now. In this, you know, we're sort of syndicating it on our own because, you know, Pacifica isn't really the kind of network that pops up in every city. I mean, I'm sure you don't have a Pacifica station out there in West Virginia.
No, I don't think so.
So we have to take technology by the horns and make it work somehow.
Can I pull you off satellite anywhere?
No.
Pacifica have a...
We haven't hijacked a satellite yet, although that could very well happen. It's right now, this is the best way, and we're hoping to do this every week. Although we won't be, for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be preempted. But after that, we should have it down where you can tune in every Tuesday at this time.
Okay, because I was going to say, if it was, if you all were local, I could get you all here, or an ISP down here, and I could do the real audio for you.
Uh-huh.
That wouldn't be a problem.
Well, I know we're looking for things like that. And if you check our website, we're going to have announcements as to what we are doing. If we need something, we'll ask about that, too. So we may very well need to do something like that.
Okay, cool. Another thing I want to ask you about. A while back, you had written up where you supposedly could get a voice or ISDN. You could get, like, a data over voice.
Right.
And you all did you ever get that?
Are you talking about the thing with PSI?
Yeah.
Yeah. We after publicizing it on the web page and on the radio station, they finally saw reason and gave us our money back, and that was the end of it.
That's great, because we've been doing it here for a while. We've got ADSL here, actually.
You have ADSL in West
Virginia?
They're
testing it. I don't have it. A friend of mine's got it, but they're testing it here.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know how to get in the beta program or anything, but they opened it up, and he got in, and it's just like... A network, well, I guess it's like a CSU DSU is what it looks like, and then you get a network card, and he's running a Linux box, and we get like 1.5 meg downloading, but we don't get as much uploading.
Yeah.
It's like in the 500 or 400K.
I think it's supposed to be around 640, but yeah, that sounds about right. Now, supposedly they're going to make it better after they initially install it. They'll make it you know, much faster, but I mean, look at what you have now. It's still, compare that to what you could get with ISDN.
Yeah, just 128K. It's a lot better.
Yeah, it's a lot better than that, and it's using existing copper wire. What kind of, do you know what kind of prices they're talking about down there?
No, I haven't heard anything on prices. I actually don't think he's paying anything right now.
Probably because it's a test.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know if they're going to mass market it or if the test doesn't go good, if they won't market it, but it should. I mean, we're a hick state. We have plenty of people want to get on that.
What's your phone company?
Bell Atlantic.
Oh, we're in the same phone company.
Yeah.
How about that? That's right.
They just took over you all not too long ago.
Yeah, they took us over. They're putting their plates on our payphones. James Earl Jones is everywhere.
When you had the... I was listening to some shows on the web. You had them archived for like ever. And when you had on Cocotts, there's a company around here, and it's a really odd name for them. I'll have to find it and call you back whenever you get it back on. But they do Cocotts. And theirs, you can call and you can punch in #19 and you can hear what's going on around it. And that's very interesting. I wonder why they need a feature like that on Cocotts.
They program all kinds of speed dialing in there. Like, #19 gave you what? Just unrestricted
dialing? If you dial in, you can hit #19 and you can hear what was going on around the phone.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. You dial in and you hit #19 and it's like a room monitor type
of thing. Yeah. See, I wonder why they need a feature like that.
It's... I mean, why do you need a feature like that for your answering machine? You know, it's just something I guess they decided to put on there. It depends on the brand of Cocotte, I guess.
But that was very interesting to someone be able to call in and hit it and be able to hear who's around.
Yeah, that is kind of neat. The other thing, I thought you were talking about this at first, is the speed dialing that they have. Just try dialing pound and a few numbers on a co-card.
Yeah, they have
star. And yeah, you get all kinds of shortcuts to the numbers, sometimes unrestricted. Yeah, you get that too sometimes.
Yeah, that was an accident that happened at our school not too long ago.
Uh-huh.
We have all co-cards and someone was hitting pound something, like 118. It was taking them to 911.
Did they write a letter to 2600 about that?
It was, well, there was one written a long time ago. I don't know if it was it or not, because this happened like 3 years ago.
Uh-huh. We printed a letter, I think, either last issue or the one before that, about something like that happening to somebody with a co-cut in a school.
It may have been it, but yeah, that's got it in our school too now.
Uh-huh.
So
all these kids are dialing 911 by accident.
Yeah.
Getting in a lot of trouble.
So take it easy.
All right, thanks for calling.
All right, man, see you.
Take care. West Virginia, Rutgers, and San Francisco tonight. Not bad. Not too shabby. Let's see if anybody out of the country. Canada, Mexico, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Africa. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, good evening. How are you doing, guys?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good. I'm a first-time listener. I'm calling from Connecticut, not that far away.
Okay. You're listening on the radio, right?
Yeah, I listen on the radio, and I just watching it over the web here, too. I just want to see you guys doing a great job. I mean, I've been looking for something like this for a long time.
Well, you found it. And we've been on the air for a long time, too. Our first show was 1988, I think.
Yeah, I found your I first found your guys' magazine in a magazine store called Barnes & Noble, and I just started breezing through it, and I found a lot of Vikings in there.
Uh-huh. Cool.
And I just had a quick question for you.
Go ahead.
Do you have anybody, any backdoor access codes for Octel voice messaging systems?
Well, we usually give out the codes at the end of the night,
okay.
but I don't think we have anything like that on us right now.
Uh-huh.
If they exist, though, you'll hear about them.
Perfect.
All right, thanks for calling. But seriously, folks, we don't give out codes in the air. We don't give out codes in the magazine, and we don't advise people be too liberal with codes. Just methodology is what we're about. Figuring out how to do it, figuring out how the system works, where the weaknesses are, that kind of thing. And then it's up to you to do whatever your values tell you to do. All right. Good evening. Oops, I guess I got to hit the button first. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Pretty good.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Columbus, Ohio.
Columbus, Ohio. Wow.
All right. That's right. Yeah, I was listening to you on the web.
It's the real heartland of America there.
That's right.
All right.
The vast cow town.
But hey, don't knock cows. I mean, they're we need cows.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was listening to you on the web, and of course I disconnect call you. I just want to let you know that hey, it's working, and it's almost as good. It's just a little, you know, a little bit of fuzz or anything, but almost as good as your normal real audio shows and all that are on there.
Would you say we're too bassy?
What's that?
Are we too bassy?
Bassy?
Too much bass? Do you think there's too much bass?
No, there's just kind of like a hiss in the back in the background. I don't know what you call that, but
okay.
But anyways. I like the show, and I just wanted to call to say hi, and I'm listening from Columbus.
Okay, well, thanks for calling.
Mm-hmm.
Take
Bye.
Care, then. All right, so we've heard from Columbus, West Virginia, Columbus, Ohio.
Correct.
Is West Virginia, San Francisco, and Rutgers, New Jersey. Maybe we shouldn't have Rutgers in there. It just sounds out of place somehow.
Too close. Columbus would have been interesting. You know, raise a man from the dead and have him call in. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Emmanuel.
How you doing?
Fine.
Where are you calling from?
Do you really want me to make your day? Okay,
yeah,
world, Greece from Greece.
You're not calling from Greece.
Why not?
I don't know. You don't sound like you're calling from Greece somehow, and,
Okay.
All right, wait. You gotta prove it to me somehow.
All right.
What time is it there now?
All right, right now, it's 4 a.m.
It's 4 a.m.?
4 a.m.
Well, it's actually 7 minutes to 4 a.m., right?
Something like that.
Okay. We will be checking on... Oh, you have a computer that's going to check that? We're checking right now. What is your country code, please?
Country code
okay,
would
verified.
Be 03131.
Hey, we've brought in a Greek person. All right, and...
Calimera.
Can you say something to this person? Put on those headphones. And just say something...
Who is it, Manos?
Say something in that language.
Yes, the guns.
Hello, Manotia.
All right.
This is the last timer.
All right, say it again.
I'm fine. I had an emergency back home.
Okay, wait. Go ahead. Speak.
Okay.
Γεια σου, τι κάνεις, δεν σ' άκουγα πριν.
Okay. Τι γίνεται.
Από πού παίρνεις.
Πάτρα.
He's calling from Patra.
I'm calling from Patra, Greece.
Are you in the university there?
Yeah, but I'm not exactly at the university. Let's just say it's. I'll disclose that. I won't disclose that information because
you're not routing a call through Greece, are you? So where are you really?
I'm in Greece, as far as you guys are concerned.
As far as we're concerned, yes, but you're not really in Greece right now, are you? It's a big world, okay? No one's going to find you.
Okay.
All right, you're a Greek person that knows how to route phone calls through Greece. That's fine.
Yeah. Actually, there are about 20 people that own Greece, so.
Really?
Yeah, ask Manos over there.
And the Anastas family is not one of them, I take it.
All right, just like I had an emergency back home and I had to fly back, I had to fly there. And I knew you guys were going to connect this because I was talking to Porkchop.
Uh-huh.
And I started connecting and I'll set a world record for the four off the hook.
Well, okay, that'd be great, but you got to be actually sitting overseas listening to the show on a computer for it to be an official world record.
Yeah, I'm taking the FIFA on computer.
Yes, but you're not overseas listening to it on computer, are you?
Well,
no, I think the
I'm
hesitation.
I'm not going to say that, right?
The hesitation in your voice tells me that you are not, but it's
right.
It's a start. It's a start.
Hey,
we got a phone call from Greece.
Yeah, you are the social engineer.
We got a phone call from Greece, and I'm sure we'll be getting a phone call from AT&T later on asking about a phone call from Greece. But thank you very much for calling in and sharing that with us. Let's see if we can squeeze in one more phone call. Good evening. You're on the air.
Huh?
Speak up. You're on the air. Yes, you.
I'm calling from Knoxville, Tennessee.
Nashville, Tennessee.
Knoxville,
Tennessee.
Yeah.
Oh, you must get a lot of confusion there with Nashville.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, well, that's okay. Knoxville, Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Just wanted to say I really love your show.
Well, that's cool. Signal's coming in okay, or the real audio's coming in okay?
Yeah, I was coming in over the 28.8. It's a few seconds behind here. But
Are you listening to it right now?
Yes.
Can you hold the phone up so I can say something and see how long the delay is?
Okay, sure.
Okay. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4.
Are you listening to it right now?
Wow, that's delayed.
Yes.
Can you hold the phone up so I can say something and see how long the delay is?
Okay, sure.
Okay.
That's a long delay.
You get it?
Yeah, wow. That's more of a delay than we usually are.
Oh, wow.
That is something. Well, listen, thanks very much for calling up, and hopefully we'll be on again every week, although not for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, no, I can't wait to get back up.
Okay. Well, thanks again for calling.
Thank you.
Take care. And that's going to conclude our show for tonight, this live show over the Internet. Seems to have reached all over the place, but maybe not Greece. Don't know. We'll find out about that. Again, we won't be around next week, the week after, or the week after that, but we will be back on October 24th, and hopefully we'll be here for a while then. And we expect to be on the net every week from that point on. So I guess connect to that same old website when you find yourself online next Tuesday, the next Tuesday that comes around. It's Emmanuel Goldstein for everybody. Have yourselves a good night. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Central Intelligence Agency was set up.